good to see everybody here tonight. I know we've got a few out that's not feeling well, sick, on vacation, here and yonder, but you know what? I come to worship tonight. I'm not here, but nobody, I'm not here for none of y'all. I'm here for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? If we get that in our frame of mind, I seen something this week that this lady come up to a pastor. She said, "Pastor, I'm leaving this church." He said, "Well, tell me why." She said, "Because there's hypocrites in here." She said, "There's people talking about people. There's people making fun of people." He said, "You know, that's probably in every church here and there." He said, "If you go to a different church, you're probably going to find the same thing." He said, "But before you leave, would you do me one favor?" She said, "Yeah, I'll do anything." He filled a glass of water all the way to the rim. He said, "You walk around this sanctuary and not spill a drop, I'll see you out the door and not ask you nothing else." So she started walking, and more she was watching that water, make sure she wasn't going to spill it. And she come back and said, "I told you, preacher, I could do this." He said, "You didn't spill a drop, did you?" She said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Why?" She said, "Because I was concentrating on the water." He said, "If you come to church and concentrate on Jesus Christ, you won't worry about nobody else." That's pretty good, ain't it? I thought that, man, that hit the spot right there. That made a lot of sense. We don't come to for nobody else but to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what I come tonight to do. And some of them asked, "Why in the world you got a tie on tonight, preacher?" I said, "Well, we have a Sunday morning service on Wednesday night. I might as well dress like it." No, I'm just kidding. I've been to the funeral home, I was going to tell you, to pray for the little family. The one daughter she had, she's taking it pretty hard. And Tammy and Tony is her husband. So let's pray for them. And she's got three sisters still living. So let's pray for those sisters too, if you will, the little little family. But anyhow, I just left there, and I believe tomorrow at 11 o'clock we're going to plant Miss Lillian. And you say you're going to plant her, not bury her? Nope. Anything that's buried won't come up, but anything that's planted is going to come up. Yeah. So keep that in mind. You know what? Even if anything is planted on stony ground, it's still going to come up. So keep that in mind. But let's pray tomorrow about 11 o'clock. That's when the funeral will be at Gordon's funeral home. And then we'll plant her across the street there in Lakeland. All right. But don't forget, the nomination box is still back there. Get that done. We've still got this Sunday and next. And we'll have it taken up, all right? So get that done. And then had a great time Sunday eating. Boy, I eat, and I eat, and I eat, and I, Lord, forgive me, and I eat, and I eat, and Lord, forgive me. And then I started on dessert table. So, Lord, forgive me. But anyhow, we had a great time there. Tomorrow night, praise team practice. Don't forget that. And then visitation will be next Thursday. Be much in prayer for that. And answering crisis ministry this month is soap, all right? Soap is cheap. Wished everybody used it, all right? But anyhow, Deacon of the Week is Brother Jamie Griffin back here. We call him Bobcat Griffin, and he knows why. But anyhow, are there any other prayer requests that we need to add? We added 8 Sunday. So are there any others?
Cindy May.
Okay.
And my dad has got several spots on his leg, and they're kind of worried about that. So he's going to the doctor on Friday of this week. So
Mr. Lauder, right?
I'm still not laughing. So, yeah, so just, we can remember them.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I know that, I think Doris Shield may be on there, but pray for Steve White, Doris. She failed the other day in the house.
Yeah, she. The reason Miss Daisy wasn't here Sunday, just found out that they has, you said watering the flowers, is that right? Watering the flowers, and she fell and couldn't get up. And the necklace alert things, you know what I'm talking about. All she tried three different numbers, I believe it said, and couldn't get nobody, so they had to call 911 to come and get her up. So she's not hurt, just she just couldn't get up. You know, she had to lay there. So, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Good to see Miss Lucy back with us. I know that stuff is, whew. I think several of us in here know what gout's all about. So, oh, wow. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Hathcock. Adcock, okay. All right. I heard a fella come in the shop the other day and said, you know, I think they've got a cure for cancer, but it would bankrupt the hospitals if they'd give it. That makes a lot of sense, don't it? Don't that make a lot of sense? But that's sad. Anybody else? Yeah, and then trying to take care of little Maverick too, because that's high maintenance. Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah. And she's about 80, you said? About 80 years old, heart surgery. Whew. And Miss Daisy's doing, not Miss Daisy, Miss Brown's doing well. 95 years old. Went to, what'd you say, Longhorn? Longhorn. And for her 95th birthday and had to wear the big party hat thing. But she said she had a great time. 95 years old. That's great. Anybody else? Let's remember all the churches around us. There's some struggling right now without pastors. Let's remember all of those. Some with pastors that still need a prayer. Amen. Anybody else? All right, let's all gather around the altar and call these people up to God in prayer.
us, gracious Heavenly Father. We count it an honor and a privilege, Lord, just to call upon your name one more time this side of eternity. Lord, we're thankful tonight we got a God that can still answer prayer. Lord, I lift each one of these folks up to you tonight on our prayer list, whether it was spoken or unspoken. I pray that you'd go wherever they may be, Lord, that you would touch and heal them according to thy precious will. Lord, those that are going for procedures, Lord, I just ask that you would guide the surgeon's hands, Lord, that everything would come out okay. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would be with those that are bereaved and brokenhearted tonight. Lord, that a loved one's done slipped out and gone on. Lord, I just ask that you would comfort them, wrap your loving arms around them. Lord, I pray that you would bless this church. Lord, that it would ever grow and continue to go forward for the glory of God, not to be seen of man, but to be heard of God tonight. Lord, help us to come with one thing in mind, and that's to worship a true and living God. Lord, I pray that you'd clear our mind and our conscience of all the worldly things outside the doors of this church tonight. Lord, that you would set our mind on heavenly things, Lord, and you'd give us freedom and liberty to worship. Lord, the Bible says, where the Spirit is, there's liberty, Lord, and I just want to feel the presence of an almighty God here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd take full control of this service tonight. Be with the churches around us, Father, that are struggling, Lord, that is without pastors. Pray, Lord, that you'd just grant them a pastor that would lead them and in the right direction, Father. Lord, I ask that you would lead, guide, direct everything that's said and done. Lord, I pray that you'd bind the hindering spirits and loose the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Give us revival, Lord. We need it in this day and hour in which we're living. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have just to be in your house tonight, dear Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord, to come with the things around us are thirsty, dear Heavenly Father. Help us come with a thirsty heart, dear Heavenly Father, to hear your word, to hear the word of Jesus Christ, to hear the beckoning call, dear Heavenly Father, to come to know him. And Lord, we need the rain, of course, we need the rain, and we pray as the clouds gather together, dear Heavenly Father, that you would pour out rain upon this dry and thirsty land. And Lord, we pray for us, dear Heavenly Father, your people, that you pour out your love on this dry and thirsty heart, dear Heavenly Father, tonight. God is, Lord, try to just use us, Lord. Give us the strength to be used, dear Heavenly Father, in a way and a place to use that strength, Lord, to glorify your precious and holy name. And we thank you and praise you for it. Lord, we pray for all those names that have been lifted up. We pray for their needs to be met, dear Heavenly Father, through your love and through your power, your grace, your mercy. Lord, we just thank you tonight that we have the freedom that we can come and just lift up the precious name of Jesus. And Lord, thank you and praise you for all that you have done and are doing for the promise of tomorrow, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Dear Lord, just thank you for your blessings today and for the opportunity to come tonight and learn more about your word and more about what you have us to do each day. Father, please be with those that are sick and suffering, Father, those that have so many questions and they're hurting, Lord. Please help them to find that sweet spot of comfort, Father, where they can get the rest that they need. Help them to look up and recognize that you're there for them when they feel alone, Father. They're not really alone because you're the one in control of all things. In the same way that you made them and you made us, Father, you have control. And Lord, we're so grateful that we can know and rest in that knowledge that you're the one that we can turn to. And that if it's your will to heal them, Father, we know you can and you will. And Father, we just ask you to give them the strength to trust in you and their families as well. Father, those that are brokenhearted, please just help them to remember to look up, that even though things around them right now are difficult and hard, Lord, that they can know that you have a plan for their life, Father, where they can live a fulfilled life blessed by you, Lord. Help them to look up and draw their strength from you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us and all that you will do.
Oh, Lord, you hear that, young boy? You start getting old like me. Just 19 years old. Great day, boy. Wouldn't it be nice to go back to 19 again? I'd do a lot different.
I would, too.
All right. Appreciate that. And you know what? It's always good to gather around the altar and lift one another up to God in prayer. I believe if America would spend more time on their knees, I believe we'd be a whole lot better off tonight. Brother Travis is going to sing for us tonight. God bless you, brother.
Amen. If you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. If you really love him, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I missed you folks Sunday, but I'll tell you, we were in Darlington this past weekend, two saved Saturday night, and people were healed and set free, and God did a good job. And I'll be honest with you, I really didn't want to go. Preacher, ever had them services you really didn't want to go? But we got there, and the power of God fell in that place, and God reminded me, he said, there's still a cause, amen? And the pastor was talking just a moment ago about revival and God sending us revival. And I've been studying a lot the last week or two on Solomon, pastor, and how he prayed to God. And Solomon said in chapter 6 in 2 Chronicles, he said to God, if your people have been taken into captivity, he said, and they turn towards the homeland, talking about the temple, the tabernacle, and they repent, they return and they give you the glory. He said, Lord, hear their prayer. Hear their supplication, he said, and maintain their cause. And I'm glad tonight there's still a cause to be maintained, aren't you? I've listened to your prayer concerns tonight. I know the churches are in a mess. I'm not calling any names, but I know a church right now where the pastor is browbeating the people. I mean, just ugly. And things are going on, and this world's in a mess. But you know, God also reminded me last week, preacher, he said, I'm the God in the midnight hour. Aren't you glad of that? Doesn't matter what you're going through, he's God in the midnight hour. He'll come under the shadow of darkness right into your circumstance and flip on a light every time. And so I just want to do a song for you tonight. I hadn't done it in quite a while. You pray for me. There'll come a day when in your life you'll have to make a decision. And I hope that decision is you'll take Jesus. As they gambled for the robe he wore, they chose a worldly trade, not thinking about eternity. As the soldiers drove the nails, will we learn from what they've done or make the same mistake? Me or the world, my child, which one will you take? I'll take Jesus. I'll take Jesus. You know why? 'Cause I've tried those earthly pleasures and they fail. When we see the gates of heaven and you hear the Master say, me or the world, my child, which one will you take? Anybody here tonight that would be willing to raise your hand, say, I'll take Jesus all the time. Amen. Listen, church. As the pages of my life have turned and time has slipped away, the greatest things that I have done, they're not gonna matter on that day. All my earthly treasures that I have laid away, they're all gonna be to me just a memory. And this you hear me say, I'll take Jesus. I'll take Jesus.
'cause I've tried those earthly pleasures and they failed. When you see the gates of heaven and you hear the Master say, me or the world, my child, which one will you take? Me or the world, my child, which one will you take?
And I'll stand before you tonight and say, all day, every day, I'll always take Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight.
I'm glad. Back December the 16th, 1993, I took Jesus. He had chosen me a long time ago, but I'm glad I decided to choose him. Amen. I'm so thankful that God has done that. And, you know, I studied this past week, and I was sitting at work this morning. It was quiet. And I had already text Brother Randy the text. And as I was sitting there opening up my emails, you know, and doing all that, God said, open up your Bible to Ephesians. So I looked in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, and I was sitting there thinking, man, you know, Satan will try anything he can to tear you down. He will try to tear your family apart. He will try to tear your home apart. And he will try to tear the house of God apart. And the Lord just laid this on my heart, and I was sitting there at my desk, and I don't even have my little book tonight. I got me a big old paper tonight where I can see it. But as I was sitting there, you know, the Lord started dealing with me on how Satan really works, you know? And I want to preach tonight on the methods of Satan. The methods of Satan. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, a very familiar scripture. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against, now watch this, underline this word, the wiles of the devil. I want to break that word wiles down. We quote these verses all the time, but what does the word wiles mean? That we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Father, we thank you again for the day. Thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for leaving us, Lord, this roadmap, Lord, to get us to heaven one of these days. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would just clear our mind and our conscience of all the worldly things, and you would set our mind on heavenly things as we open up the word of God tonight. Give us what we need tonight, Father. Lord, we stand in need of a lifting up in this dark world we're living. And Lord, may this message help us tonight and be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. That word wiles has several meanings. And I want to give you these meanings tonight, because there's 4 meanings of that one word. That one word, wiles, in the Greek is pronounced like this, methadia. It means methadia. Well, if you put that in English terms, you can use it as my title, as method. That you may able to be able to stand against the methods of the devil. Now that word also means strategy. It means strategy, or scheming, or planned deceitful procedure.
Boy, don't that sound like the devil? Sounds just like him, don't it? And so what are some of the methods of the devil? Number one, I want to give you these tonight, and if you can write them down, because when we leave this church tonight, folks, you're going to need these to be able to stand against the devil. Number one, I believe the very first thing that the devil tries to do, he contradicts the Word of God. He contradicts the Word of God. Genesis chapter 3, I want you to look what the Bible has to say here. Verse 3 and 4. Now look what the Bible says closely, and we're going to understand this. It says, "But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said." Now, all right, stop right there. There's God's word, is it not? God said. Now watch. "Ye shall not eat." Is that not right? "Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it." Right? "Lest ye" what? What does sin do? The wages of sin is what? All right, look at the next verse. "And the serpent said unto the woman," what I say about contradicting? "Ye shall not surely die." You see, we come to the house of God to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the whole time you're sitting here, whether it's Wednesday night or Sunday morning, a lot of times your belly starts growling. And when about 12 o'clock rolls around, we say, "Man, I wish that preacher would hush so I can go eat." You know what I'm talking about. And all of the sudden, the stomach starts growling, the mind starts a-wondering, and then the devil starts a-working. Amen? Because your mind starts getting in a different frame. We come to the house of God for no other reason than to worship instead of whine. Amen. You see, we get a lot of times set in our ways, and we get set in our... our standards, if you will, maybe. Churches have standards? Yeah, it's in that bulletin. Huh? We're supposed to start at 11 o'clock. We're supposed to be done by 12, preacher, so we can go eat dinner. Well, how many know, like somebody told me this week, if I keep on preaching till 1 o'clock, the lines are going to be down and you can get your food faster anyhow. Amen. Huh? You ever thought about it that way? But the devil tries to contradict. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" Modern theology. The devil has corrupted our modern theology. He has took, and where God took the dust of the earth, and they tried to clone humans, clone animals, and all of these things. Can I say something to you? God is the creator. He's the one that made us, and He's the one going to take us out of here. You see, the method of the Satan is trying to contradict the Word of God. Free thinkers. Oh, boy. Uh-oh. How many know what the rainbow stands for? Huh? I told somebody the other day, God didn't create Adam and Steve or even Evelyn. He created man for woman and woman for man. Amen. Now I want you to listen. All the free thinkers, the devil has done corrupted their minds and saying it's all right. They go to church and the preacher says it's all right. They go to the church and the deacons say it's all right. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, that's just fulfilling the Word of God, because the Bible says in the last days that men will grind with men and women with women. Is that not what your Bible says? You say, "Preacher, that's pretty strong." It's the Word of God. Amen. You see, the devil tries to contradict the Word of God. There ain't no morals no more. We don't have morals in our homes no more. We don't have morals in the church no more. People used to come to praise God. Now they come to be seen. Huh? Now they want to know what Miss Susie's going to wear Sunday morning to see if I can outdo her. Huh? But can I tell you something? Long as you're decent and covered, amen. That's what the Bible says. And where the best you got, they can't nobody say a word to you. Huh? I don't see nowhere in the Bible where it tells me that I have to wear a suit and tie except where the best I got. Huh? That's why I told some of you a while ago, the way I preach on Wednesday night, it's just like Sunday morning, so I'll just wear my tie. But I was just picking, because I don't like to wear a tie. But our morals have gone out the window nowadays. They have polluted our minds. What you go out here in this world and hear all week long, you bring into the house of God and think the house of God is okay with it. Can I say something to you? If it's not in the Word of God, it's ungodly. Amen. Bottom line, there ain't no other way to look at it. Now, number one, I believe the first method of Satan, he contradicts God's Word. Number two, I believe he tries to counterfeit God's Word. Look with me at verse 5 in Genesis. Watch this now. For God doth not know that the day... God don't know. Can I say something to you? God knows. You can't hide. Adam and Eve tried to hide, didn't they? Bible says that the Lord come walking through the garden in the cool of the day, which is about evening time when the sun done went down and it starts getting a little cooler. And the Bible says that he called out for Adam and Eve and they was hiding. He knew where they was the whole time. They was back there sowing fig leaves together trying to hide themselves because the devil done opened their eyes. I would to God that God would open our eyes today and see the sin out here in the world that we're bringing into the house of God. So many people, can I say something to you? The world has no place in the church. And the church has no place in the world. And I've said this before and I'll say it again and I'll put it like this. Now the devil has interrupted. The church is getting worldly and the world is getting churchy. You can't tell the difference between a person that goes to church and one that don't go to church and never been to church. You say, why, preacher? Because the devil's done slipped a counterfeit in there and they're going to end up sliding off their church pew right into hell, my friend. A church membership won't get you there. Baptism won't get you there. But the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no counterfeit for it. Amen. There's no counterfeit for the blood. Man, we need to grab a hold of this. False teachers and false preachers are standing in the pulpit this day and hour in which we're living in, telling you it's all right to go drink your alcohol and drink your wine and do all of these things, do these drugs, long as you here Sunday morning to pay your tithes, I don't care what you do. Well, my Bible says leave that stuff alone and you still need to pay your tithes. Amen. See, that's not counterfeit, that's the truth. So many times the false teachers and preachers are changing the Word of God. Can I say something to you? Man has put his hands all on God's Word and polluted it. When you go taking the blood out of the Word of God, you don't have a Word of God. When you go taking Jesus' name out of the Word of God, you don't have the Word of God. And there's so many versions and perversions out there that's going on right now that people are having their minds polluted because they don't even know who He is. They took Jesus slap out of the Bible. 34 times from Matthew to Revelation. The NIV has took out the word blood 34 times. You say, how do you know, preacher? I've done my research. I've done my study, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm going to stand on the King James Bible. I don't care who likes it and who don't. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. You say, why, preacher? Because that's what God laid on my heart. Amen. You can live a false hope if you want to. But I'm here to tell you, I'm tired of preachers having counterfeits and preaching false doctrine to people and they're dying and going to hell. I feel sorry for them. It hurts me. different versions has diluted and polluted God's word. Not only does the first method of Satan, y'all didn't know y'all was going to get preached to tonight, did you? Contradicts the word of God. Number two, he counterfeits the word of God. You know, it ain't been that long ago. I believe it was Jordan. Somebody gave you a counterfeit $100 bill, wasn't it? Or a $50 bill or something. I forget. Anyhow, I took it to the bank and they said, oh no, that's counterfeit. But it looks real. Look real. They put it in this machine, in this scanner, and said, nope, it's not real. How many know one of these days that when the trumpet sounds, the master is going to come back and he's going to look at every one of us that's been saved or says you've been saved, and he's going to look and he's going to say, that's mine. That's a counterfeit. That's mine. That's a counterfeit. I wonder what you got tonight. Is it real or is it counterfeit? Devil slipped a lot of good people counterfeits. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because you're looking at one standing before you tonight. I remember at the age of 10 years old, I come down to the altar. Thought I was saved the whole time. I was living on false hope and had a counterfeit salvation. But the day I got on my knees and the Spirit started drawing and drawing me down, and he said, boy, you're lost. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell. And I realized my lost condition, and I got rid of the counterfeit and got the real deal, my friend. I got Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God for that. I don't have to worry about no counterfeit no more. But I tell you what, the devil's working. Now, number three, contradicts God's word, counterfeits God's word, persuades or entices the lost. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? That word provoked in the Bible, if you'll turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I want you to look at the very first verse. The Bible says, and Satan, notice what he done, stood up. Boy, you know he meant business. Stood up against Israel and done what? Provoked David to number Israel. Now, if you know anything about this scripture, you go home and read it. Sometimes you'll find out that David told one of his men, he said, you go count all the ones in Israel. You let me have a number. And what happened is the devil provoked David during this time. Now, you know David was a man after God's own heart. Is that not right? That's what the Bible says. And all of a sudden, the devil provoked him to do something. He lost 70,000 men because the devil provoked him. I wonder how much of our life, when the devil provokes us, we lose at one time. I'm here to tell you, folks, we better stand up against the methods of Satan, because he's going to entice you. He's going to provoke you, and you're going to end up flat on your face before God. Provoked equals enticed. I say to you, buy now or pay later. Pretty simple. How many of us is living on borrowed time? Huh? How many of us are living for the Lord? Or how many of us has been enticed to live for the devil? Temptation always seems harmless. You know, I've used this before and I'm going to use this again. These billboards that we see on 74... on that front side, they paint that pretty picture of whatever they're advertising. On one side, it looks real good. But if you walk and look at the back side of it, you're going to see old dirty cobwebs. You're going to see old rotten boards. You're going to see all kind of things up there that you don't want. And how many know tonight, if you keep allowing Satan to provoke you, you might look good on the outside, but you're going to be garbage and trash on the inside, because he provokes us to do things we don't want to do. not just the Christians or our church members, but he provokes everybody. I know people. I talked to a guy not long ago. He told me to pray for this young man. He said, "Preacher," he said, "he weighs 90 pounds at 38 years old. He said he has drunk himself literally to death. The doctor told him 3 years ago, if you leave the alcohol alone, you might make it. He'll go for 6 months and leave it alone, and then all of a sudden, he'll fall back into the same trap again. How many know if he would ever give his heart and life to Jesus Christ one time, he wouldn't have to worry about going back out there again? Folks, I'm here to tell you, if we grab a hold of this message tonight, the methods of Satan, he contradicts God's word. He counterfeits God's word. He persuades or entices the lost. Number four. Now I want you to listen to me closely right here. He diverts our objectives. I want you to look with me at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I want you to look with me at verse 17. Now watch closely here at what the Scripture says. Matthew 16 and 17. I want to show you something. Jesus answered and said unto him, we're in verse 17. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look at verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. Now watch, I want you to watch. Here it comes. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things unto the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him, now watch, and began to rebuke him. Now watch the word of God right here. He began to rebuke him. Be it far from me of thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. He turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. How many know our biggest problem with us as Christians today is we look at the now and the very picture we're in instead of looking at the big picture? You say, what are you talking about, preacher? You see, Peter was just a little man. He was a little feller, but he was full of spunk. He had fire, but it was for the wrong reason. You see, he had what you call tunnel vision. He didn't want nobody to lay hands on his Jesus. Boy, I tell you what, that ought to get a hold of you right there. I don't want nobody to put their mouth on Jesus either. God don't have a last name, and I'm sick of people using it that way. Amen. But you see, Peter, what happened to him? He started looking down this road leading up to Calvary. He didn't realize Calvary in general, but he led. He said, man, ain't nobody gonna touch you. There ain't nobody gonna lay a hand on you. And Jesus knew right then that he was looking at instead the now and not the later. My friend, if we would ever get into the situation where we quit looking at the now and look what lies ahead, we'll be a whole lot better off. But when Jesus started explaining, Peter, listen to me, get thee hence behind me, Satan. And when Peter opened his eyes, he looked up Calvary's hill and said, now I see the big picture, God. I see what you're going to do for me one of these days. If we'd ever get that behind us and forget about the now and look what's ahead of us, my friend, we got Calvary ahead. Amen. We got a home called heaven one of these days. Praise God. We got a place that the street is made of gold. The walls are made of jasper. And the gates are one big pearl. You think you got trouble now? Forget about the now and look what's lying ahead. I'm glad the former things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Folks, we need to grab a hold of this tonight. Quit being like Peter and looking at the now. Ain't nobody going to touch you. Jesus said, just get behind me. Look at the big picture. I'm so thankful tonight Jesus died on that old rugged cross. Amen. I'm so glad he shed his life's blood. I'm so glad, my friend, that one of these days not only did he die for me, but he's coming back for me. Amen. I'm going to a place that's fairer than day. I'm going to a place, Miss Lucy, where we don't have to worry about gout or pain. Amen. We don't have to worry about no heartaches. No sorrow, no separation, and praise God, no more Satan in that place. Amen. Praise God. You see, quit looking at the now. Quit looking at what we are now. Thank God, look what we're going to be one of these days. Work your way there. You see, we're not going to sit there in heaven and not say amen. We're not going to sit there in heaven and not shout the victory. We're not going to sit there in heaven and not bow our head to the ground and say, worthy is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. You might as well get ready now. It's coming. Look at the big picture one of these days. Satan tries his best, like Peter, to look right here and right now what's going on. How many know what's going on now ain't going to last forever? The only thing going to last forever is salvation. Praise God. Thank God for that. He diverts our objectives. You see, our objective is the now. Forget about the now. Look what lies ahead. Amen. Last of all, Satan's method, he diverts our objectives. Constant rebuking by the unbelievers. Boy, how many know that there's people out there, if they were sitting in this church right now, they'd think I was a lunatic. Some of you might, I don't know. Bless God, you need to get saved, amen? But I'm here to tell you, there's people trying to disturb our way to heaven. Everywhere you turn around, look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I got scripture for every one of them. Look with me at verse 7. The Bible says, unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn, where? In the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know, the word always cuts in and coming in and going out. You know that? There's sometimes people leave the church glad. Sometimes they leave the church mad. Sometimes they're just glad to get out of there, period. I'm telling you, that's just the way it is. But how many know that Satan put that thorn in Paul's flesh? You see, Paul, before he became Paul, was Saul. Y'all know that. Y'all know how he persecuted and killed Christians. And nowhere in my Bible says what that thorn was. Nowhere. But can I give you a little bit of Helms theology tonight? I really think that when Paul was out here giving the gospel to this lost and dying world, Satan would take that old thorn and wiggle it a little bit and say, Paul, This is where you once was. What makes you think that you're good enough to present the gospel now? I think that's that thorn that Satan buffeted him, it said. He aggravated him about it. You know, there's things in our past that every time we get on fire for God, we get going down the road, on the glory road, if you will, and we start praising God. All of the sudden, Satan will grab that old thorn and start shaking it and let us realize, hey, you're not worthy, but I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, because I can look at the Satan and say, you either get away from me or you're going to get a bath in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. He buffeted Paul the whole time. I just think that thorn. Some people think that Paul had ophthalmology problems. He had eye problems. Some think that it was that. Some think it was his stature. Some think that he had bad feet. Some, you know, there's different ideas. But I tell you what, my idea is the past that went through Paul's mind when he was trying to lead somebody to the Lord, or he was trying to preach the gospel to the lost people, that Satan would buffet him and wiggle that old thorn and remind him of his past. But how many know tonight, now I'm fixing to get a little loud right here. How many know tonight, you say, preacher, you going to get a little louder? No, I'm going to stay about right here, amen. But how many know tonight that he might wiggle and remind me of my past, but praise God, on the authority of God's word, I can look at him in the eyes and say, I'm going to tell you what your future is. You can remind me all day long about my past, but I know your future. Amen. Praise God. I'm thankful tonight. You say, preacher, how do you know what his future is? Read the book of Revelation, where the Bible says that God's going to throw him down in that bottomless pit, and he's going to shut the door on that bottomless pit, and he's going to be there because God holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Praise God. How did he get them? Because he resurrected on the third glorious morning. Praise God. Rebuking. The world always opposes true Christianity. Do you know that? You get something good, people's going to find bad. Always. I don't care how good it is, how sweet it is. There's somebody going to find something bad. But how many know, sweeter as the days go by, I'm one day closer to going home. You say, preacher, you ain't but 49. There ain't no age on death. And praise God, there ain't no age on entering the kingdom of God either. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I told somebody yesterday, I said, well, you know, I'm ready to go when the Lord gets ready. I ain't going to jump on the next train by. But I'm ready to go. Amen. Are you ready tonight? One day, these people that's been opposing us this whole time, these people that Satan has buffeted, these people that Satan has ruined and deluded their mind, they're going to realize that this old country preacher was right. They're going to realize that the Bible was true after all. One of these days, it's coming. Folks, I'm here to tell you, these methods that Satan uses will tear a church apart, will tear a home apart, and will tear your job apart if you let it. I was sitting there this morning. God gave me this sitting in my desk. I don't know why, but you know what? I want to be obedient to Him, because that's when He starts blessing. God blesses obedience, and we need that. It would have been a whole lot easier tonight to preach on the love of God. It would have been a whole lot easier tonight, and Brother Jimmy, you know what I'm talking about, and Brother Travis, y'all know it's easy to preach on Calvary. But you know what? There's other parts that need to be preached to. I'm here to tell you, when I walk out of here tonight, I'm going to be satisfied I've done what God wanted me to do. Amen. And you know what? There's nothing greater than being satisfied with the Lord. Amen. All hearts clear. Let's all stand to our feet.